the cloves will start to grow roots fairly quickly in the cool, moist soil, mm-hmm. which is what we want them to do. And then, again, like tulips and daffodils, they need a certain amount, like 90 to 120 days of cooling, cool temperatures down in the 40s and below mm-hmm. before they start to sprout the tops like the bulbs do. So we don't want to plant the garlic too early, mm-hmm. or we may get things sprouting. I've had some garlic sprouting in December and January, and that's not a good thing.
Right.
Because it does, you know, it might well sprout. We have a mild period, but then it usually gets bitten back by the cold at some point. And that weakens, well, it's using up energy.
Right.
So then it will try to sprout again, and this may happen a couple times. So better if we can get it in, keep it cool, and then let it sprout on its own time, and hopefully we won't see it above ground until, late March, early April, something like that.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah, that's...
So the basics, I'm sitting out in my garden now where it's pretty nice. I have a bunch of beds, boxes, that are already prepared. They've been harvested and fertilized and are ready for garlic planting. I've got one more behind me that still has potatoes in it. So that'll probably get dug in the next week or two. That one then I will fertilize. And so I'll be mixing in the organic fertilizer that I bring in. Plus, I've already, in these other boxes at least, have also buried some dead humpies from the beach.
Mm.
So, and then, you know, so those were down underneath, down deep, 8 inches deep in the soil, and then the fertilizer mixed into the soil on top of those. And the whole thing then is covered with clear plastic to keep it a little drier. You know, the soil is plenty moist at this point. We aren't going to need to water them, though you might. In some places down south, they may actually say to water their garlic after planting. We don't need to do that.
Hmm. That would be a strange move up here.
So with this nicely fertilized soil, and once I figure I get my right the day, or it's going to take several days because I've got six boxes, I'll be planting somewhere between 12 and 1,500 garlic cloves. It'll take a few days.
Wow.
But I will, so I'll rake things over so it's fairly level. I've made myself, and you can go online and see these things too, but I've made myself a six pointed planting dibble. So I've got six dowels, basically, that are somewhat slightly sharpened. They're spaced about 6 inches apart, attached to a board with handles on it for me. And so then I can go down the length of my box or down and across it, and I get the spacing that I want, like I said, about 6 inches apart in both directions.
Hmm.
And then all the garlic that I have, I've broken apart the bulbs into individual cloves.
Mm-hmm.
And so this planting dibble of mine makes a hole about 2 inches deep or so. So a garlic clove goes into each one, pointy end up, just mm-hmm. like that's our mantra here.
Yeah.
And after I get the whole bed planted, and I try to label them because I've got about 15 varieties of garlic I'm
wow.
growing. So I label them as I plant them, ideally, and then lightly rake over the top. They get some. I've actually got bags of commercial compost that goes on top, maybe a half inch or so on that,
mm-hmm.
and then seaweed on top of that, and then finally the clear plastic goes over the whole thing so that, again, to keep them warmer and drier, and that way it makes them happier. Mm-hmm. I mean, happy garlic is a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so then they're growing their roots underneath it, and then I can relax for the relax regarding garlic and just work on eating what I have left.
Yeah, right. So they can kind of hibernate once they get situated well.
Exactly, yeah. And so they are, you know, I've planted them 2 inches deep in the soil, so effectively they're 3 to 4 inches deep with all the other stuff that I've put on top of them.
Right.
So that's a good depth to go for. We don't worry about it. If the ground freezes solid, so be it. They're hardy enough to tolerate that, just like tulips, daffodils, crocus, mm-hmm. and other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so then we can just enjoy and dream about our next garlic, and hopefully we have enough to take us through into next, till next June when the first garlic scapes start coming along, so we get our fresh garlic again.
Yeah, yep. Okay, so to recap here, to prepare our soil, we make it pretty darn rich. You're burying humpies in
it. Good drainage. You know, good drainage in there. So if you've got muskeg, as many in Petersburg do, or I don't know if you can buy soil, but anyway, it's muskeg plus sand. So you want a good drained, rich, organic garden bed to plant into. Because they are pretty heavy. Even the online and in catalogs, they say they're not heavy feeders. I really don't find that to be true.
Right.
But, of course, the rain that we get leaches nutrients out.
Yeah, certainly. So, you know, rich soil. Do we need to be thinking anything about, like, acidity level of our soil? Or is there a happiest kind of soil for garlic?
I use wood ashes as a lime substitute. I don't usually buy lime, but I save wood ashes. I've got a garage wood stove, so I save my wood ashes. And, of course, I've been throwing bones in there from last year and whatever. So the bones also get broken down as they burned, and they crumble. So that actually adds some extra phosphorus, too. So that adds a light bit of sweetening to the soil. I know when I bought some topsoil here this summer, the fellow who makes pretty nice, it's a nice mix, but he said he was, you know, he had it tested and it was quite acidic, like 4.5 to 5.5, which is really more acid than they would prefer. So that's why this is worthwhile throwing some of the wood ashes in there.
Gotcha.
So yeah, if you don't have wood ashes, then use some lime. Recommendations are something like 2 to 4 pounds, even up to 5 pounds, in 100 square feet of garden bed.
Mm.
So for sweetening, you know, we've got good drainage, we've got somewhat sweetened soil. Very often I am planting after potatoes.
Mm-hmm.
Potatoes do want more acid soil.
Mm.
So after the potatoes, then it's worthwhile. You can add some lime or something like that to it.
Gotcha. Okay. Oh, that's cool. And I could even see how that would sort of help restore a little balance to the soil, just kind of push and pull on that pH spectrum in those beds.
Yeah. And again, that's, you know, mentioning potatoes and garlic, that's part of my rotation. So you don't want to be planting your garlic in the same bed as you just harvested your garlic from back in July and August.
Right.
So we want to do some crop rotation. Hopefully you've got multiple beds or boxes to be able to do that. So if you've got potatoes as a main crop, certainly mine, garlic is one of the main crops, then I've got cabbage family, cauliflower, broccoli, turnips, rutabagas, radishes, all of those, kale, can be in the rotation, carrots and beets, Swiss chard, lettuce, all of those, again, that's more stuff to potentially be rotating. And again, it's worthwhile, you know, I keep mentioning, I guess, about record keeping, and I'm trying to do better, really, I am, so that you, if your memory isn't as good as mine once was, you remember, or you have written down, you can go to your reference and see what you planted there last year or the year before, and how much nutrients you added at that time also. Some plants do need more, some can do with less.
Yeah, yeah, good. Yeah, that record keeping, that's so key for long-term optimization.
It really helps, you know, and I've been, now that I've built my new boxes, I've painted my new numbers on the new boxes, and my wife is quite impressed with that.
Yeah.
So it's looking good at this point. I've got lots of nice garlic, and that's, so, but where did you get your garlic from? Well, you're getting yours from me, but for us in Southeast Alaska, in most of Alaska, I mean, up to Anchorage, I don't know if they grow it. I guess they grow it in Fairbanks, but it's more of a challenge because Fairbanks is particularly cold.
Yeah.
But using, in general, hardneck garlics the type of garlic, rather than most of the grocery store garlic is a soft neck from California or from China these days. A lot of it is. And that really doesn't do as well here for overwintering. It just isn't as hardy and doesn't respond as well.
Right.
Now, you can, if you're so unfortunate as to not have been able to get any garlic, you can still order it online. There's Peaceful Valley Farms is a pretty good source for garlic. They are in California, but they do wholesale and retail a lot of different varieties of hardneck garlic.
Good.
So you can't order them. You got to tell them, usually, to ship it via the postal service, and flat rate boxes are similar, so they don't try to ship it to us via UPS or FedEx, which gets obscenely expensive.
Right.
But they will, and they can ship pretty quickly. You know, you can give them a call, tell them what you want. They've got a good online presence, and buy it that way. So you find some good hardneck varieties. And I mean, Music is one that I just got a whole bunch of from a guy in Iowa. I've been buying from him for several years just because I can't grow enough for everybody who wants it. So it's a good variety that does well, and it lasts pretty long. I've had it last into March and April.
If I'm
careful about keeping it, you know, like 55 to 60 degrees or warmer, basically in a corner of my kitchen or something like that where it's not too cool, so we haven't stored it where it's cold. We're not storing it in the refrigerator or something like that.
Right.
That will make it sprout more quickly.
Exactly. So garlic sprouts in cool temperatures is just the thing to know.
Exactly, right. Yep. So that's what happens. You know, we've got this garlic that I dug up back in July and August, and I cured it and dried it out nicely in my furnace room. And then it went into my garage where it's in the 50s, which is fine for now. And then from there, like I said, next week and weeks to follow, I'll be pulling it out and sorting out. When I break up the bulbs into cloves, I will be planting the biggest of those cloves so they have the most nutrients in that clove for the new bulb plus the fertilizer that we give it.
Oh. That makes so much sense. That never really occurred to me before. Like, I was thinking about, you know, selecting which cloves to plant, and you want your sort of biggest and best cloves, but I hadn't really made that connection of because they have a lot of good nutrients right there.
Yep. Exactly. So you plant the big ones and you eat the small ones. That's the routine here.
Yeah.
So there will always be some small ones. So again, some of those, as I break them apart, we aren't peeling the garlic. We aren't taking the outer skin off them. That's not necessary, though. You don't need to obsess about it. If sometimes the skins come off if they're quite dry, so that's not a big deal. If they do, you can still plant them. But you want to also make sure you don't have any mold on the cloves,
right,
and that they haven't been damaged. Either cut or bruised or something like that. So we want to be planting the good stuff, the big stuff, and hopefully it will stay large or get larger.
Right, because it does look that
way.
Yeah,
and hopefully
right.
We'll get more sunshine next summer.
Yeah, I think we will. Sure, why not? Might as well.
You've got to. I mean, I can't imagine having less sun.
Right, it probably would barely be possible. Okay, so when we're selecting our garlics, the bigger the clove is going to yield a bigger resulting clove too, though, right?
Yes, yes, that's the whole idea, exactly. Now, I'm just about to, contradict a little bit of that, sort of, because at the same time, we can also be planting shallots. This is a good time of year for planting shallots also. A lot of the same people who sell garlic sell shallots too. And both red and yellow shallots. I got some really great ones from Dr. and Mrs. Sprague two summers ago, I guess, when I was down there visiting Petersburg.
Nice.
And that came from, you'd have to ask them about the history. They said it came from some fellow, I think, over at Portage Bay.
Wow.
Was growing them. But these are yellow shallots, and they are really productive. But again, we're planting them in pretty much the same way. Plant them in the fall, harvest them, same thing, July and August usually.
Okay.
They're different, however. First in that they are a multiplier onion.
Mm.
So So they do, if you plant, they're kind of interesting. So you can choose if you want big ones or small ones. If you plant a small shallot, and if you compare these, say, to onion sets that you might buy in the grocery store in the springtime or at the nursery and plant for onions. So if you plant small one, a single small shallot, you will usually get one or maybe two fairly large shallots, which are nice, really nice for peeling and for cooking and all that sort of thing. If you plant a big shallot, then you will usually get a cluster of 4 to 6 or more smaller shallots. That's a good thing, too. So then you actually, and usually you'll have, well, you'll have several sizes even within the cluster. So again, you kind of can get, you can get some big, either marketable shallots for selling, or you can get a bunch more small ones for your seed for the next year. So again, that's, you can kind of plan this in what you plant for what you're going to get for what the final use of them is going to be.
Right. Wow. Yeah, that is interesting. It's kind of inverse that way, but I suppose it makes sense.
It's strange. Yeah, I know. I mean, it just goes against what I just said about garlic. But that's, if you may read that, but certainly I've tried it, and it does work here.
Yeah.
So, and the clusters, yeah, I mean, there's some really nice clusters that you can get with the shallots. And again, the, you know, great flavor, you know, a different flavor than onions. Some are hotter, and there's a few different kinds. Both the, there's Dutch, let's see, it's Dutch yellow and French red, and then there's some gray shallots, and there may be, there's a few other varieties too, but there aren't so many varieties of shallots as there are of garlic.
Right, right. So the timing generally is going to be a good matchup between garlic and shallot planting and harvesting.
Yep. Exactly.
Yeah.
And so I'll even use, sometimes I'll, because I'm planting a bunch of different varieties of garlics, I may well use shallots as my divider in between my garlics, even though I do have labels and tags. Hopefully that survives the winter and that nobody comes along or the ravens don't come along and pick them out. And even, and again, you know, you hopefully have written down in your little log book that you planted 40 of the Russian giant garlic and 30 of the music garlic and 70 of the Killarney red garlic. If you have something in between them, then you, it's more easy to see where they change. Although some of them will look different too as they grow. Some will be taller, shorter, different kinds of scapes, different appearance. Just even the color of green, the shade of green of the leaves, as well as the angle that the leaves come off the stems, can be different between different varieties.
Yeah. Wow. That's awesome. That's like living the dream, to have so much robust garlic growing that you look out and you've got, you know, a variety of shades of green in your scapes. That's just fantastic.
It is.
That's,
I feel
the life
when
of
I'm
Master Gardener.
All this stuff and thinking, oh, all the wonderful meals of garlic that we're going to have. And
yeah,
we have coming up in, if any folks are in town, October 22nd in Juneau, the Juneau Garden Club will be putting on the 4th annual Garlic Lovers Potluck.
Oh, cool.
It's a Sunday afternoon at the Canvas. And 4 to 6:30. Anyway, so we have, several of us will be giving a basic presentation on how to grow and store and harvest and store garlic. But we'll also be eating and talk about eating and recipes and all that, different garlic dishes of various sorts. So it's a, it's just a fun social event. Costs nothing, you know, there's no charge, no fee for it. So if folks are in Juneau, you know, stop on by.
Ah, yeah, that sounds fun. Cool. Well, that's great. That's a great thing to be focused on this time of year, preparing your garlic beds, making sure you have your garlic nearby or going to have it ready to plant, picking out the cloves you want, shallots too, and then just kind of getting your timing right. You know, you probably want to wait as long as you can stand to get out there planting. You know, a nice crisp day in mid-October sounds about right, huh?
It sure does, yep. Sounds good to me. And, yeah, maybe we're going to get some here, I can hope. Here comes the sun. It's just breaking through underneath the clouds.
All right. Maybe we'll have a really nice October.
Yeah, sounds good to me. I vote for that.
Bring it on. Okay, well, maybe we'll leave it there, Ed, and then we'll pick it up again next week. How about that?
All right, sounds good. Yeah, we'll talk about, we're about ready to get into the garden cleanup as well as taking care of our dahlias and begonias and other assorted stuff that we may want to save for next year, next spring also.
I love it. Okay, that sounds great. Well, thank you so much out there, everybody, for listening to In the Gardener with Master Gardener Ed Bajarski and myself. And if you got any questions you want to put to Ed next week, you can call in during the show next week, or you can send me an email or call us here at the station, and we'll put your end-of-the-season garden cleanup-style questions to Master Gardener Ed Bajarski. And Ed, just thank you again, and I hope you enjoy a pretty rain-free weekend or some approximate version of that.
It looks like, yes. Let's hope so.
All right. Well, enjoy, and it's always a pleasure, Ed. We'll catch you next time.
All right. Good enough, Warren.
All right. See ya. All right. That's In the Garden with Master Gardener Ed Bajarski. Big thank you again to the Flower Farm for helping support this program. And they say thank you to all their customers around town. You know, they're winding down for the season now, but they're already looking forward to next spring, and you can get in touch with them to order special requests for next season, and they're going to have, you know, lots of bedding plants, trees, shrubs, soils, and more at the Flower Farm and at the Garden Center in town. So thank you to the Flower Farm. Coming up next, we're going to have High Country with Steve Berry.
Well, you can go out to eat, and that's for sure. But it's nothing a homegrown tomato won't cure. Put them in a salad, put them in a stew. You can make your very own tomato juice. You can eat them with eggs, you can eat them with gravy. Eat them with beans, pinto or navy. Put them on the side, put them in the middle. Put a homegrown tomato on a hot cake.